Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
We welcome you. Good morning. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
I'm very well. I hope you are too, and all of our listeners out there. Beginning of the season of Lent, of preparation for the greatest feast of the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Yes. And with Lent officially underway, we invite you to check out our diocesan webpage, where at diocesecc.org/Lent, you will find all kinds of resources, including Bishop Mulvey's Lenten series, Rekindling Our Faith. More on that later, but now, Bishop, if you would share with us today's gospel.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Such a striking gospel, so many images that make such a lasting impression. And it's interesting that it was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus out into the desert and how the devil tempted him three different times.
Right, and it brings to our attention the war against good and evil, and it's a war that's still going on, and so I think you're right. I mean, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had a mission, of course, from the Father, and he himself comes from the Trinity, and so this power of the Holy Spirit is in Jesus, and he led him, the Spirit led him into the desert. Again, I think this we could take this in the connotation of God's mercy, that he led his Son through the Spirit into the desert to be tempted for us. Jesus always stands in these moments, whether it's in the baptism of the Jordan or whether it's in the desert, for us. He stands there for us, tempted for us to give us the power not to remain in no man's land, you might say, but to know how to rely upon the grace of God, to know how to turn to God's mercy in moments of temptation, but also prior to temptation, but to rely on the strength of God. So Jesus being led by the Spirit also in the desert depends on the power of the Spirit inside of him, who he was, to be able to resist temptation and evil, even to dispel the temptations of the devil. So I think that's a starting point for us. Also, as we enter into the season of Lent here, it's important that the more we try to do good, the more that we try to exercise the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, the more we're going to be tempted. I remember a great aunt of mine who was a Poor Clare cloistered nun for 55 years, and She said, she used to tell me, if you think coming into the cloister is a way to get away from evil and sin and the devil, she said, you're wrong. Because the more you try to do what is good, the more you try to follow the plan of God, the more you're attracting the battle of good and evil. But that's where, again, the Holy Spirit comes in for us to rely upon that power of God inside of us.
Right. And you know, of course, there were three different ways that the devil tempted Jesus. And as we go through this Lenten season, think about ourselves. The devil wanted Jesus to abuse his power by using it to feed himself, which refers to kingship. And then there was to gain political power, which, of course, is power itself. And one to put on a show, showing glory for himself, almost as if to say, look what I've done.
And again, those, very good summary, by the way, but those are, when Jesus was tempted, it's the same temptations for us, not something that were particular to him. As a human being, of course, the devil was tempting him in his role as the Son of God and his being the Son of God. But also he's tempting him as a human being. So he stood there for us. And these are the same temptations we have. What are they? The first, as you said, is that the devil tries to bribe us with material goods and possessions. That is to dull our sensitivity toward things that are eternal, to make us so distracted with the things of God, away from the things of God, with the things of this earth. And so we're bribed materially. So he says, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. The material over what is eternal, because Jesus eventually would say, I am the bread of life. So there's this warfare bribing us to minimize the things of God and exalt the things of the earth. It's kind of the sense of that we live in a culture of the feel good now. Even sometimes in our preaching, we have to be very careful as pastors of the church not to try to make people feel good for now. This is a total distortion of the gospel. Feel good now. Have it all now. The message of the gospel is live your life in the will of God now and rejoice forever in eternal love. You're to be the best citizen in the world now, but with your heart set on the world to come. And so it's not to bribe us. This is a distortion of the human person, to bribe us to live for the here and now only, which again points to the selfishness of life, but to live here and now in service to one another out of love for God. And therefore, we work for eternal food, for the bread of life that endures forever. And so that's the first temptation, to not live. And I think as we enter into Lent, remember that. Are you being bribed with material things over things that are eternal? The second, that the devil has power. He admits that all this has been given to me. All power and glory has been handed over to me. And I think if we look at the world today, that we could almost identify with that, that the devil has hold of many people's societies and issues. And so the devil wants to strike a deal. He wants us to compromise, where Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God, him alone shall you serve. We cannot compromise with evil. You either serve God or mammon. I think it was Chesterton who said that we rejoice, even as Christians, living in the gray. We can't live in the gray. We have to make a gray. When we live in the gray of life, it means I haven't really made a decision. I haven't really given myself over completely. And I think that, you know, that can work out in our job. It can work out in our relationships with each other, in marriage, in our commitment to the church. We live in the gray because we're trying to compromise. And underneath all of that, I think we can see this dynamic that Jesus experienced with the devil. You know, are you or are you not? Are you with me or are you against me? Are we on this side or that side? And not that we become militant over these things, because when we join the side of God, we join the voice of love. and that is our way. But when that's not enough for us, we're going to live in that gray area of still compromising, trying to decide, is it power or is it love? Is it human power and strength over the strength and power of love? That's the second temptation for us that we can experience during life, and especially this Lent, to try to compromise with the things of this earth and over the things of God. And the third, as you mentioned so well, is sensationalism show. Do we proclaim ourselves as men and women of faith or as Christians for show, for sensationalism? Or do we look for sensationalism, people expect God to just come with a wand and get rid of everything and problems and change everything. Well, we've got responsibility, gang. As baptized Christians, as Catholics in particular, as what I represent, we've got responsibilities. And don't expect sensationalism in show out of the things of God, unless we are a part of that. Then we can proclaim the glory of God in who we are. The way that Jesus gave us is the way that's difficult, the narrow road, the camel passing through the eye of the needle. It's not easy to live as a Christian, to be of service to others. That's our way, to be men and women of service, not sensationalism and show, to live the cross, to take up our cross every day. But the glory of all of that way, is the crown of glory. And that's why Jesus resisted the devil, because he knew what awaited him, to return to the Father and live eternally in the crown of glory. To follow Jesus is to resist sin and temptation, to not live as people who are being bribed every day, people who are being compromised, nor people who rely upon show and sensationalism, but who rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God in their life.
Thank you so much, Bishop. On this first Sunday of Lent, you are listening to Our Shepherd's View. We will take a short break, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. As it is the first Sunday of Lent, we will do a special word of life. Bishop, if you would share that with us.
It's taken from the prophet Isaiah in verse 66. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. This word of life was chosen by an ecumenical group in Germany. We are living it together as brothers and sisters from many different churches. Our hope is that our lives throughout the year may be accompanied by this promise of God. Who hasn't seen crying children throw themselves into their mother's arms? Whatever the matter is, important or not, the mother dries their children's tears and hugs them with tenderness. Little by little, the children begin to smile again. The mother's presence and loving kindness are enough. God behaves like this with us and compares his love to the comfort a mother can give. These words show how God speaks to his people upon their return from exile in Babylon. They had seen their homes and their temple demolished and had been deported to a foreign land where they felt lost and grief-stricken. Now returning to their homeland, the people had to rebuild on the rubble of that destruction. Today, the tragedy that Israel lived through is being repeated in many war-torn peoples, victims of terrorist atrocities or inhuman exploitation. Houses and streets ripped apart, sites symbolic of a cultural identity razed to the ground, goods pillaged, places of worship destroyed. How many people kidnapped, millions forced to flee, thousands dying in deserts or at sea. It looks like an apocalypse. The word of life is an invitation to believe in God's loving action, even when his presence is not felt. It is a proclamation of hope. He is beside whomever suffers persecution, injustice, exile. He is with us, with our family, with our people. He knows our personal pain and that of the whole human race. He became one of us, to the point of dying on a cross. This is why he knows how to understand us and comfort us. He acts just as a mother who lifts her child into her lap and gives comfort. We need to open our eyes and hearts to see him. To the extent that we experience the tenderness of his love, we will be able to transmit it to those who live in pain and under trial, so that we can become instruments of consolation. Paul, too, suggested it to the Christians with these words from the second letter to the Corinthians: "Console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God." This was also a deeply personal and specific experience of Kiara Lubick, as written in her book, Meditations. Quote, "Lord, give me all who are lonely. I have felt in my heart the passion that fills your heart for all of the forsakenness in which the whole world is drifting. I love everyone who is sick and alone. Who consoles their weeping? Who mourns their slow death? Who presses to their own heart the heart in despair? My God, let me be in this world the tangible sacrament of your love. Let me be your arms that press to themselves and consume in love all the loneliness of the world." Written by Father Fabio Chardi.
Well, as you were reading this, I couldn't help but be personally consoled at these very comforting words and reflecting on corporal works of mercy.
Right, and I think the word also that comes out in you know, performing or doing the corporal works of mercy is a word that, you know, would certainly by many be associated with weakness, but that is tenderness. You know, the Holy Father Francis has called, speaking to priests and to bishops and to all of us who minister, to do so with gentleness and tenderness. Now, these are not words that I've heard from the mouth of a pope before, certainly maybe in spiritual writing, but I think, you know, in just out and out saying to us who are pastors, but it's, you know, it's said to mothers and fathers, to teachers, to civic leaders, to people in politics, tenderness, gentleness. And that is not what we are experiencing. And the tone that is being set in our world today is one of force, of strength and power and anger. And I mean, if you put all those words together that characterize our society, if we were to just, you know, as an exercise, maybe this would be a good exercise since we're now beginning Lent, to write down all the words that characterize our world today, to look at all of that and make a list. Is that the kind of world that we deserve as a human being, as a child of God? Is that the kind of world that God intended when he created the world, man and woman? Is that the kind of world that Jesus died for? Yes, he died for, but that as a fruit of his love for us in his death and resurrection, is that what he wants for us? Is that what we want for our children? Is that what we want for the future? Look at all of those things. And to say, is this what we deserve? The reason that the Word of God is so important to us today is because it brings to us the true sentiments of God our Father, who is the Father of all, in whatever religion, whatever monotheistic religion we may be a part of. And so it's so beautiful that we have the prophet Isaiah, which is a, you know, from the Old Testament that really unites all of us from the Jewish scriptures. And even there, the word tenderness, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And looking back historically from the exile of the Jewish people into Babylon and the return and the love that God shows and what we are facing today. And again, it's not something magical that God is going to just do for us. We have to be the ones to pick up what we have experienced in ourselves. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. You know, and I think when you look at, well, I have to look at Pope Francis. When you look at the crowds that gather around him, when you look at wherever he goes, and what do we see? Do we see the power and the anger and the screaming and the yelling at each other? No, we see a tenderness of the gospel. We see, you know, the face of God in many ways, reaching out to the lonely, the poor, those who are disadvantaged in one way or another, children, babies. That's what God wants of us. And I think it's a real paradigm shift for all of us in our life to shift our way of approaching life and problems and people and real problems. I don't mean to make this sound Pollyanna kind of situation, but I think a lot of the change of our world from one side of the list, the negatives that we see, to the world that we want is going to take. It's pivotal in how we respond daily in our own life to the situations, the problems, the people that we meet. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And that's the charge that's given to each one of us, to comfort with tenderness, and gentleness, and love in every situation. Because what happens? Love, tenderness, gentleness disarms anger. It disarms it. Because once you say, you know, I remember a bishop that I knew, I won't use his name, but when he would get angry letters from people, he would write back to them and say, you know, you might be right. God bless you.
How wonderful.
That's just one example.
Right, right.
But I think when we enter into battles with each other, when we enter into this polemic, which creates a rancor in ourselves, and then we get all discombobulated and out of shape and angry ourselves internally, it serves no good. And so I think these words, as we begin Lent, are very, very powerful. It would create in us, many of us, a suffering to not face situations with anger and rancor and yelling and screaming, but with tenderness and gentleness. That's our Lent. And that's what I would suggest for all of us as we begin this Lenten period, to comfort one another as a mother comforts her child, and to live that in a particular way.
Thank you so much, Bishop, for your insights and your time today. As we come to the end of our program today on this first Sunday of Lent, and before we finish the program, we would again like to remind everyone to check out diocesecc.org/Lent. That is where you will find many valuable resources for reflection as we get underway with the season. Also, Bishop Mulvey's Lenten video series, which incorporates our Jubilee Year of Hope. Those videos are available there as well. And the series is called Rekindling Our Faith. Again, the website, diocesecc.org/Lent. As we near the end of our program here on this first Sunday of Lent, we ask if you would please close with a prayer.
Grant, Almighty God, through the yearly observance of Holy Lent, that we may grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ, and by worthy conduct pursue their effects. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View, with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.